Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shivati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachalane Niravatesha Shunyavari Fashtat Tadesha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaurabhakti Chavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 69, verse 1. Narada Muni visits Lord Krishna's palaces in Dwarka. Shri Sukha.
Shri Sukha.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Narakam.
Narakam.
Nihatam.
Nihatam.
Shrutva.
Shrutva.
Tata.
Tata.
Udvaham.
Udvaham.
Cha.
Cha.
Yoshitam.
Yoshitam.
Krishnena.
Krishnena,
Etena,
Etena,
Bhavina,
Bhavina,
Tad,
Tad,
Hidrakshu,
Hidrakshu,
Sma,
Sma,
Narada,
Narada,
Sri Sukha Uvacha,
Sri Sukha Uvacha,
Narakam Nihatam Srutva,
Narakam Nihatam Srutva,
Chatodvaham Chayoshitam,
Chatodvaham Chayoshitam,
Krishnena Kena Bhavinam
Krishnena Kena Bhavinam
Tadidrikshu Smanarada
Tadidrikshu Smanarada
Sri Sukha Uvacha
Sri Sukha Uvacha
Narakam Nihatam Shrutva
Narakam Nihatam Shrutva
Tatodvaham Chayoshitam
Tatodvaham Chayoshitam
Krishnena Kena Bhavinam
Krishnena Kena Bhavinam
Adrikshu Smanarada
Adrikshu Smanarada
He said
Narakam
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 Demon Naraka
Demon Naraka
Nihatam
Nihatam
Killed
Killed
Shrutva
Shrutva
Hearing
Hearing
Tata
Tata
Also
Also
Udvaham
Udvaham
Marriage
Marriage
Cha
And
Yoshitam,
Yoshitam
with women,
with women.
Krishnena,
Krishnena
by Lord Krishna,
Krishna.
Ekena,
one,
Abhavinam
with many,
Tat,
Tat.
That,
Dridikshu,
wanting to see,
Sma.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Narada.
Narada.
Narada Muni.
Narada Muni.
Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing that Lord Krishna had killed Narakasura and had alone married many brides, Narada Muni desired to see the Lord in this situation. He thought, it is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Thus the sage of demigods eagerly went to Dwarka. The city was filled with the sound of birds and bees flying about the parks and pleasure gardens, while its lakes crowded with blooming Indivra Ambuja Kalara, Kumuda, and Utpala lotuses resounded with the calls of lotus swans and cranes. Dwarka boasted 900,000 royal palaces, all constructed with crystal and silver, and splendorously decorated with huge emeralds. Inside these palaces, the furnishings were bedecked with gold and jewels. Traffic moved along a well-laid-out system of boulevards, roads, intersections, and marketplaces. Many assembly houses and temples of demigods graced the charming city. The roads, courtyards, commercial streets, and residential patios were all sprinkled with water and shaded from the sun's heat by banners waving from flagpoles. In the city of Dwarka was a beautiful private quarter worshipped by the planetary deities. This district where the demigod Vishwakarma had shown all his divine skill was the residential area of Lord Hari, and thus it was gorgeously decorated with 16,000 palaces of Lord Krishna's queens. Narada Muni entered one of these immense palaces. Purporting Krishna, Srila Prabhupada beautifully describes the city of Dwarka as follows, being inquisitive as to how Krishna was managing his household affairs with so many wives, Narada decided to see these pastimes and so set out to visit Lord Krishna's different homes. Where Narada arrived at Dwarka, he saw that the gardens and parks were full of various flowers in different colors, and orchards that were overloaded with varieties of flutes. Beautiful birds were chirping and peacocks were delightfully crowing. There were tanks and ponds full of blue and red lotus flowers, and some of these sites were filled with varieties of lilies. The lakes were full of nice swans and cranes whose voices resounded everywhere. In the city there were as many as 900,000 great palaces built of first-class marble with gates and doors made of silver. The posts of the houses and the palaces were bedecked with jewels such as touchstones, sapphires, and emeralds, and the floors gave off a beautiful luster. The highways, lanes, streets, crossings, and marketplaces were all beautifully decorated. The whole city was full of residential homes, assembly houses, and temples, all of different architectural beauty. All of this made Dwarka a glowing city. The big avenues, crossings, lanes, and streets, and also the thresholds of every household were very clean on both sides. Of every palace there were bushes, and at regular intervals there were large trees that shaded the avenue so that the sunshine would not bother the passerby. Shrutadeva Goswami points out that Vashta, Vishvakarma, manifested the expertise of the Supreme Lord, and thus he was able to build such exquisite palaces. Srila Prabhupada writes, the great palaces and princes of the world used to visit these palaces just to worship Lord Krishna. The architectural plans were made personally by Vishvakarma, the engineer of the demigods, and in the construction of the palaces he exhibited all his talents and ingenuity. So this is part of a description that goes on for a little while, describing the palaces of and the city of Dwarka. And as we see, it is full of great wealth, and we can associate ourselves with that wealth because it is described in terms of things that we know about, like gold and silver and emeralds and whatever, precious jewels, rubies, diamonds, etc. And parks and roadways and marketplaces, etc. And we'll find other descriptions like this in the Bhagavatam as well of great cities, particularly in Vaikuntha. Again, the description is very similar to this. So this gives us some idea of the spiritual world, because Dwarka actually is the spiritual world. It's not a material place. And similarly, Vrindavan is a spiritual place, not a material place. They are somewhat different, however. When we see the descriptions of Vrindavan, what do we hear? We hear about the grass and the forests and the fruits hanging from the trees and the flowers and the Jamuna River and the animals, the deer and the cows, etc. And so it is country. That's also a spiritual world. Here we find a different description of the spiritual world. That is a very wealthy city. Constructed out of jewels and precious metals, etc. So these are two aspects of Krishna's nature. So technically there's three natures of Krishna. That is Krishna and Vrindavan, Krishna and Mathura, and Krishna and Dwarka. Three types of Krishna. It's all Swayam Bhagavan. When we talk about Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the original form of God. These are all Swayam Bhagavan. It's all the Supreme Lord. So when we say Swayam Bhagavan, we mean that Krishna manifests something which other forms of the Supreme Lord do not manifest, even though they are also Supreme Lord. So we can compare that to one comparison is to the moon. And we have different appearances of the moon. So we have Pratipat, which is the first day of the moon when it's very small. Then it goes to Dvitiya, a little bigger, and Tritiya, etc. Then it gets to Ekadasi, it's bigger, bigger. And then it gets to Purnima, full. Heaven's Purnima, that's the perfect moon. And we know that's the moon. But nevertheless, when it is on the first phase and the second phase, we also call that the moon. We don't say it's anything different. What's the difference? The amount of light that is coming to us is different. That's all. But it's the same moon. So similarly, the different forms of the Lord are like that. Vishnu manifests a certain amount of the light, so to speak, and whereas Krishna manifests all the light. So he's Purna. He's like the Purnima. Huh? And maybe Chaturdasi we can say is Rama, and Triodasi is Narasimha, like this. And we can go down to Vishnu, maybe he's Dasami, something 10th day, like that. And we can go down till we get something like Pratipada or Dvitiya or Tritiya. Mohini Avatar or Dhanvantari Avatar or Dattatreya. These are also Supreme Lord. But comparatively, they show less powers. So these are being classed in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. There's the hierarchy of showing more powers and less powers like that. And they're all Supreme Lord. So we cannot say that they are one is better than the other. Well, they're all God. But they show different amounts of power according to their form and according to their function. In other words, the Lord doesn't show everything all the time because it's not required. So as Narsimhadev, he shows certain powers because he has certain leelas he performs in relation to Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad, etc. So he shows those powers. And Rama similarly. And the Vishnu forms and Dattatreya also have certain functions to perform, and they display those powers. So according to the particular form and the pastimes, then they will show a certain amount of qualities. So Krishna is unique because that particular form manifests all the qualities of God, 100%. So that is why we call him Swayam Bhagavan, not because he was alone and then he created another form of God or Vishnu form or Balaram, because they're all eternal. They can never be created and they're all God. So the difference is simply that Krishna manifests everything fully, all possible qualities in full, and therefore he's called Swayam Bhagavan, perfect manifestation of God. So that manifest, Swayam Bhagavan again manifests in different degrees. So he manifests fully in Vrindavan, and then a little bit less in Mathura, and a little bit less in Dwarka. But even the Dwarka form is much more than other forms of the Lord, so like Rama and Narsimha, etc., and Vishnu. So it's all Swayam Bhagavan, but even Swayam Bhagavan has three manifestations, and therefore Dwarka is called Purna. And the form of Dwarka is Purna. The form of Mathura is Purnatara, which means more perfect. And the form in Vrindavan is called Purnatama, most perfect. Just like we have Purushottama, he is the highest Purusha. We don't have a word Purushatara, I don't think. No one's ever used that word. But that would be more of a human. We have a human and more of a human and a most highest human. Purushottama is the highest. So we have Krishna is Purnatama. He is the most perfect form of God. And he is the most perfect form of Swayam Bhagavan. So therefore, all of this is Swayam Bhagavan, but nevertheless, we should understand that whatever is manifested in Dwarka is more manifested in Vrindavan. But Narada Muni, actually, when he's actually not really qualified to see Rasalila in Vrindavan. But he sees the Leela here in some of the Leelas in Dwarka. And that is astounding to Narada Muni. This chapter is all about how Narada Muni is astonished by seeing Dwarka and Krishna and Dwarka, and his powers that he manifests there, which is more than anything he's seen in Vaikuntha or anywhere, because he wanders throughout the material and spiritual worlds. And this is the most remarkable form of God that he has seen. So even he is surprised by this wonderful city and the wonderful way in which Krishna expands himself. So that's actually the main subject here, how Krishna is able to produce many forms which are equal to that Swayam Bhagavan form and act independently in Dwarka. And he's astonished by that. After seeing all the other forms of God, etc., he is very, very astonished by this. So again, this is to show Swayam Bhagavan. But if Narada Muni is astonished by this display of Krishna's powers, then actually the powers in Vrindavan are even more astonishing, because that's the highest form of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. That's a Purnatama form. And so this gives an indication only of how much more astonishing is Krishna in Vrindavan. Nevertheless, this is also very, very astonishing and very, very unique. So we should understand that Krishna is actually in a very special position. Even more special because, in spite of being most perfect, etc., he does so in a very unexpected way. That is, if he's supposed to be most perfect, etc., then we would think he's got all the manifests all of his powers and he shows great opulence, etc. So some of that, yes, you see here great opulence and wealth, etc. Yeah? But ultimately, no, that is not the outstanding feature that makes Krishna so unique. Yeah? The unique feature of Krishna is something else, completely different. And what is that? Not his powers at all. But that's his sweetness, his madhurya aspect. That is what is most unique about Krishna. All the other forms have a little sweetness, but Krishna has the most sweetness. And the sweetness is actually represented by the form of Krishna itself. That form is the most sweet form. That form of Krishna will evoke in the devotee sweetness. What does sweetness mean, actually? It's a type of bliss. But of course, all forms of God have bliss, because they're all Satchitananda and Purna, etc. So they all have bliss, spiritual bliss. Why is Krishna different? Because it is madhurya. Of course, we can say all aspects of God must have some madhurya also, but Krishna is 100% madhurya. Unique madhurya aspect. So what is that sweetness that Krishna shows? What is that? Well, why is it called sweet? So it's called sweet even though it is blissful, it is distinguished from bliss, because it is very intimate and very close and very intense. And what is intense? What is close? It's the love. The expression of love between Krishna and the devotee is very, very sweet because it is very intimate and very intense. And even in Vrindavan, again, we'll have various degrees of intensity of that sweetness. So if we start out with the servants, that's sweet also. Then we go to the cowherd boys, it is sweeter. If we go to Mother Yasoda and Nanda, it is sweeter. Still, and then if we go to the gopis, that is the sweetest. And miraculously, it's one Krishna, but he manifests all degrees of sweetness with his devotees. And of course, even in Dwarka, it'll be sweet also, to some degree. And that in later in the Bhagavatam, next volume, it's described at the very end, Krishna and the queens of Dwarka, and the relationship of Krishna and the queens and their strong attraction. So that is also a madhurya rasa, conjugal rasa there, which is very, very sweet also. But it's higher in Vrindavan. So the intimacy is there. And as I said, it relates to the form of Krishna itself. And even that form of Krishna has various degrees of sweetness because he comes in three different varieties. He comes in a baby form. Then he comes a little bigger when he grows up and he's about 5 years old. That's called Paugunda age. And then he's a little bigger, about 8 years old, 8 to 12 years old. Then he's Kishore age. So there's three varieties of the Vrindavan Krishna also. And then there's various degrees of sweetness there also. So the sweetest is the Kishore form. That is considered the sweetest form of Krishna. And when Krishna reaches the Kishore form, then after that he doesn't age at all. He goes to Mathura, he goes to Dwarka, but he's more or less the same. So that's why when the Brajavasis go to Kurukshetra after maybe 100 years or so, I don't know how many, 80 years or so like distance, you know, between leaving Vrindavan and that, they recognize the same Krishna and see him as the same person. They don't say, oh, he's got older. He doesn't get older. He's the same Krishna. And they just imagine him instead with his peacock feather, etc. Now he's got, you know, crown on his head and looks like a king. But they just imagine that's not there and then see the same Krishna. He hasn't aged. He hasn't transformed. He hasn't grown at all. He's the same Kishore age. He doesn't age beyond that. So, Krishna comes even in Vrindavan in three different forms. And they're all sweet. All sweet, all intimate. So what is the source of the intimacy? Why not Rama? Why can't Rama have the same sweetness and Narsimhadeva, etc.? Why not? And that is because of that particular form of Krishna in Vrindavan does not show his powers at all. He hides his powers. How he hides his powers? Because he is Narakriti. He is a human form, very human. He has two arms, and he doesn't live in a palace like a great king. He's just a coward, and he's not even an adult. He's just a boy or a baby. So he looks like a normal person in this world. A normal person is born, they grow up, and they act childishly, etc. So that's exactly what Krishna does. He acts like a little boy, he acts like a baby, he acts like a 12-year-old or 8-year-old, whatever. He doesn't act like God at all. Yeah? So it is this the Krishna form that does this. No other form does this. We don't see Narasimhadev acting like a little baby. Doesn't do that. It's not part of his form. It cannot. It's limited. That form is limited to show anger and destruction of demons. But Krishna's form is to show prema in all of its aspects. And so he shows that. So when he's a small baby, then he particularly for Vatsalya Rasa. And for Nanda and Yasoda and the elder gopas and gopis, that Vatsalya Rasa is strong between Krishna and those persons, those devotees. So Krishna's form itself evokes that rasa. We want to care for Krishna. Krishna's completely dependent on us. We want to feed him. We want to bathe him. All this, their attachment is due to that small form of Krishna. And Krishna himself in that form also is attached to Nanda and Yasoda. I am dependent on them. I have to obey them. I am their servant. So there's both ways. The devotees seeing the Supreme Lord in that form evokes Vatsalya Rasa, and Krishna in that form feels prema, Vatsalya prema, in relation to his parents and responds according to their feelings. And when he's a little bigger, when he's in his Pauganda age, 5 years old, then that is ideal for Sakya Rasa with his friends. So you'll see in the Bhagavatam from Canto 10 up until the 15th chapter, up to Brahman Moha Lila, more or less at the end of his baby years. And then he goes into the Pauganda years there where he's going with the cowherd boys. So when he goes with the cowherd boys, he's a little older, and then the rasa changes a little bit, and we get Sakya Rasa described. He goes out and plays with the cowherd boys in the forest. That is Sakya Rasa, friendship. So, and there's a few chapters dedicated to show how he plays with the boys in the forest. So that is also a type of spiritual rasa, spiritual love, and prema. And that is very intense in that particular age, where the boys are that age and equal in age. And they play and have various pastimes. And then when he's older, and when he enters Kishore age, and that is when the gopis finally develop their attraction for Krishna, and then find that culminates in the Ras Lila. So that's Kishore age particularly. But of all those different ones, actually, Kishore age is considered to be the most perfect age of all. And that evokes the mood of the gopis. But that is not to say that therefore Mother Yasoda, when she sees Krishna in Kishore age, suddenly thinks, it's not my child anymore. No. Or the other gopas, no longer. She's no longer our friend, and then they can't have any Sakya Rasa. The nature of the Kishore form is that the parents and the friends can also still, when they see that Kishore form, they get excited about their particular relationship. So it incites all of rasas. Similarly, we see when Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill. So this gave a unique opportunity for Krishna and also for the Brajavasis. It gave a unique opportunity for Krishna because he could respond to everybody simultaneously in one form. So all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are always lamenting, oh Krishna, we like to see Krishna because that beautiful form gives us such joy. But we don't see Krishna all the time. And Mother Yasoda and Nanda, in the morning they wait, and then Krishna goes out in the field and they're waiting all day, and finally Krishna comes back in the evening, and then they get to take care of Krishna again. So there's some distance separation. And similar to the cowherd boys, after evening time, then they all separate and they go to their homes. So they're separated from Krishna. and again the gopis. In the morning after they feed Krishna, in the morning he goes out, then they're separated. And when he comes back in the evening, then they see him again. So there's a separation all day long. Yeah? So when Krishna had the Govardhan Leela, then he was standing there for 7 days. And he didn't disappear at all. So all day and all night, everyone could look at Krishna. So not just one time, everybody. Huh? So the gopis were looking at Krishna, and the Yasoda and Nanda and all the elders were looking at Krishna with Vatsalya Ras, and the friends were looking at Krishna. And they just looked at him for all day and all night. So they had... Everyone was so satisfied and happy. And it was one Krishna, but he could manifest and satisfy everybody in that one form. So this is the unique quality of Krishna, that he excites all of these very intimate, intense rasas like no other form of God. So other forms of God do have rasa, but not completely. They will not have all the rasas completely in such intensity. So, of course, it's also, as I said, there's a ranking more or less. So next, the highest is Krishna, and then next is Rama. Slightly lower, and slightly lower than Srimati. They're all more or less higher than the others. So as we see with Rama, there is a little bit of Sakya Rasa with friendship with Lakshman and his brothers. There's parental Rasa a little bit with his mother and father, but mainly Dasya Rasa. But remarkably, he also has a human-like form. So there's a little bit of intimacy there. But only one queen. Only one Sita. So the Madhurya Rasa is very limited there. And with Narasimhadev, he also shows great powers. But, again, basically is Dasya Rasa for him. What great power he shows. So in this way... That is the whole point of Bhagavatam, is to show that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. And of all the forms of God, that form of Krishna is the perfect, highest, and most sweet form. Now, of course, that sweetness can be expressed in another way. That is in the nectar of devotion. There is the 64 qualities of God. And then the jivas can have maybe 50 or so, and others, more powerful entities, Shiva can have 55, and Vishnu can have 60 qualities, and then Krishna has 64 qualities, yes, unique qualities. So those four unique things are not powers, but sweetness. The sweetness is most unique. So there is Madhurya Rupa. That form is particularly sweet. One can establish a very intimate relationship with Krishna because he's just a young boy and he's a cowherd boy, not a king, and there's no distance. It's very close. So the form itself is naturally sweet. And the pastimes are sweet, consequently. So therefore we have intimate pastimes where Krishna is willing to give up his control completely, and he becomes bound up by Mother Yasoda. No other form of God gets tied up. Generally, Krishna ties everybody else up in other forms. Like Vamana ties up Bali with the ropes of Varuna or whatever, you know? And in the material world, of course, Krishna ties up everybody with karma. And Krishna's not contaminated or tied up or subjected at all. But he's tied up by Mother Yasoda. So we will not see that in other forms of God. Rama, who's going to tie up Rama? Nobody. Krishna gets tied up. Tied up by what? Not by ropes, actually, but by prema. The intensity of love is so much that Krishna submits himself to the love of Mother Yasoda. So that is the sweetness of the pastimes. It shows very, very intimate pastimes. And the devotees, we have all the rasas manifested fully there, where we don't have all the rasas manifest in other forms of God. So we have Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Matsalya, and Madhurya rasas manifested completely. I say it's partially in other forms, so therefore we have Narayan, we have Lakshmi Narayan as Madhurya Rasa also, but that's only one. And with Rama again, one. Sita Rama, that's it for Madhurya Rasa. And with Krishna, what is it? Here we have all the queens of Dwarka. 16,108 queens, Madhurya Rasa is expressed. And Vrindavan, with all the gopis, how many gopis were there? 3 billion. So, Krishna can have Madhurya Rasa unlimitedly But he doesn't show that in the other forms. That makes him unique. All, he can display all rasas with all those abilities. So that is another speciality of Krishna. And of course, the fourth Madhurya aspect is the flute. He does not show powers like Shankha and Chakra and Gada, whatever. He shows his power by his sweetness through the flute. So when he plays his flute, everybody's heart melts. Melts the whole world with his flute, the sound of his flute. So this is, and what is that sound of the flute? Actually, it is prema again. It is sweet prema. So that is the uniqueness of Krishna. And that is fully manifested in Vrindavan. And in Mathura, it is less. Why? Because everybody in Mathura sees Krishna as Supreme Lord. Because they know that he was, when he came out of the womb of Devaki, he had four hands. He was Vishnu. And Vasudeva and Devaki, of course, they also understood, yes, Krishna has come as our son, but actually he's Supreme Lord. So the idea of Krishna is my son, or Krishna is our relative in the Vrishni dynasty, is also mixed with the idea that Krishna is actually God. So this obstructs the sweetness. It covers it up a little bit. So that's why it's considered less. Still, Krishna's a Kaishara form. So he's sweet, but still there's obstruction because Krishna's God also. So therefore, that is expressed, for instance, in the pastime where the Brajabasis go to Kurukshetra to see Krishna. So when they go to see Krishna, then Nanda and Yasoda meet Krishna and Balaram privately in one of the tents there. And they come in and Mother Yasoda is there and Nanda Maharaj is there and Krishna and Balaram come in. So immediately when they see Krishna and Balaram, then they see their children, not Dwarka people. They see their children and they put Krishna and Balaram on their laps. And they begin crying. And milk flows from Mother Yasoda's breast. And she sees, and she cannot speak, and she goes into a trance state. And no one is in the room except Devaki and Rohini. And Devaki and Rohini are looking like, and Devaki says, "Well, actually, Krishna's my child, because I gave birth to her, and then, Krishna, and then we smuggle him across the river and put him inside the thing. So it's actually my child, But Yasoda didn't hear that at all. She was completely in ecstasy because Krishna was there. And then she realized that Mother Yasoda's love was greater than her love. The intensity of Mother Yasoda's love was much greater than Devaki's love. Even though Devaki was, she considered herself the mother of Krishna. Still, the love of Mother Yasoda was much more intense. And she was astonished. How can it be? I'm the mother, but she's got more love for Krishna than I have. So that shows that in Vrindavan more intense. And why intense? Because they see Krishna as God also. Even though they are mother and father, they see him as God also in Mathura. So that's why it's only called Purnatara. And then Dwarka, it's the same. The same Vrishnis are there as in Mathura. So it should be more or less the same. What's the difference? The only difference is that in Dwarka, Krishna actually shows himself as in all of his opulence and power and wealth, etc., like a king. Whereas in Mathura, still he has to go to the Gurukul and do all these things, so he's not really at that stage yet. But when he's in Dwarka, then he shows all of his powers and his wealth, opulence, etc., as Bhagavan. Still, he's that same form, Kaishara form, so they can somehow relate with the sweetness, etc. At the same time, that delusion is a little more there. So therefore it's only called Purna. But even this Purna is astonishing for someone like Narada Muni. He's seen Vishnu, he's seen all the avatar form, and when he sees this form of Krishna and Dwarka, then he is also completely astonished at what Krishna can display there in Dwarka. So this is all to show the superiority of Krishna in terms of manifestation of powers and sweetness and qualities and pastimes, etc. So its qualities are wonderful, its form is wonderful, and its pastimes in Dwarka are all remarkable. And that will be shown, the pastimes are shown in this chapter, how remarkable they are because of its powers. Okay, any questions? To attain that state. Yeah. Obviously the people in Dwarka and Mathura are not sadhakas. They're not doing sadhana bhakti, they have prema bhakti. Huh? So only us. You're talking about us. How do we go to Dwarka? How do we go to Mathura or Raja? Is that what you mean? No, well, these people here are naturally, there's no sadhana. They are perfect. Huh? The difference is the view. In Vrindavan, they don't see Krishna as God at all. Mother Yasoda sees Krishna as my son. Gopi see Krishna as my lover. But Sakha see Krishna as their friend. No God. God doesn't enter into the picture at all. He's a coward boy. In Dwarka, it's mixed. They have friends with Krishna, but he's also God. Arjuna sees Krishna as friend and as God. And the queen sees Krishna as husband and God. Like this. So it's mixture. That's the difference. But it is no sadhana, it is prema. They are perfect. They're face to face with Krishna. So it's prema, it's not sadhana. Now, if one wants to attain these states, then one obviously has to worship differently, because it is said that, you know, just like in the material world, whatever you think of when you die, you attain. You think of Narsimha, you go to Narsimha. You think of Vishnu, you go to Vishnu. You think of Rama, you go to Rama. You think of Krishna, you go to Krishna. So you think of Vrindavan Krishna, you go to Vrindavan Krishna. You think of Mathura Krishna, you go to Mathura Krishna. You think of Dwarka Krishna, you go to Dwarka Krishna. So what that indicates is, according to your sadhana, you fix your mind on a certain form of God with a particular relationship and certain mood, and then you attain that form. So that is why in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he had some Rambhaktas. Murari Gupta was a Rambhakta and Anupama was a Rambhakta. So they had been worshipping Rama, and they developed a particular attraction for Rama all their life. And then Lord Chaitanya said, you should give up Rama, because you know Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is the highest, most sweet, most wonderful. And of course they had to follow Lord Chaitanya because he's authority. But very troubled, and they became very troubled, and Murari Gupta was troubled all night when Lord Chaitanya said, worship Krishna. So he couldn't sleep all night, actually. And then in the morning, he came to Lord Chaitanya and said, I'm very sorry, Lord Chaitanya, I can't follow your order. Because my heart is dedicated to Rama. So because he had that attraction for Rama, he couldn't change it. So therefore, the people who worship Rama go to Rama, and people who worship Krishna go to Krishna. And of course, Lord Chaitanya did not object. He said, yes, this is the proper understanding. We cannot force you to worship a certain form. That is according to your own attraction. So therefore, it is in the sadhana itself, which form you choose and the mood you choose, that will determine your ultimate destination. So we worship Vrindavan Krishna, then we go to Vrindavan Krishna. If we worship Dwarka Krishna, we go to Dwarka. And that is also mentioned in other places in the commentaries of the Acharyas. Vishwanath says that if you worship Krishna, but even the Vrindavan Krishna, but you're worshiping in the mode of Dwarka by using mantras which involve Dwarka and the queens of Dwarka, etc. Because in that there's worship of Krishna, and then the queens of Dwarka, you worship this puja like that in the Shastras. And if you follow that mood of reverence in Dwarka, then you'll go to Dwarka, not to Krishna, not to Vrindavan. And then there's another thing. He says, well, if you worship Radha Krishna, but you worship in Vaidhi Bhakti, with understanding this is God and reverence, and you do your sadhana and you go into bhava in that stage, then where do you go? Do you go to Dwarka? That doesn't seem possible, because you're worshipping Radha Krishna. You're not worshipping Krishna and Rukmini and Satyabhama and all the queens. But also, you can't go to Vrindavan because you're worshipping with Vaidhi. You're seeing Krishna and Radha and Krishna's God. So that's an obstruction for Vrindavan. So where would you go? No. Because they also see Krishna as God, and it's not Radha Krishna anymore. It's not Radha Krishna. So he says you go to Aishwarya Goloka. It's like Vrindavan, except everybody sees Krishna as God. Well, there's Radha and Krishna and the gopis and everybody, but Yasoda and Nanda see Krishna as God also, but they're not the Yasoda still. So there's called Aishwarya Goloka. That's outside of Gokul, which is everyone sees Krishna as not God. That's the central portion. That's described in the Brahma Samhita in the commentary. Like they have Gokul in the middle, then we have this Aishwarya Goloka around. And that's the central. So in the Aishwarya Goloka, Krishna is cowherd boy, and all of his associates are there, and the gopis are there. But they see Krishna as God. So there's an intermediate form of Aishwarya. Then next after that is Mathura and then Dwarka.
Can Aishwarya Goloka be an eternal place for us?
Yeah. Those who have Vaidhi Bhakti and they see Radha, Krishna and all those associates, but they see Krishna as God. But they worship as a cowherd boy.
And it's not that they have to attain more perfection or something.
No, they prefer that, so that's where they enter. And in other words, they stick to that in their sadhana, all the way through their sadhana up to perfection, and therefore that's what they get.
Krishna is always, many times explained as descendant of Vishnis as well as Yadus.
Who?
Krishna. Descendants of Vishnu dynasty.
Or Yadu, same.
Yeah. Is it the same
dynasty, yeah. They're like, in other words, the Vrishni dynasty goes all the way back to Yadu, I think, and if you previous canto, I think ninth canto of Bhagavatam it is, eighth and ninth canto of Bhagavatam, the lineage is traced going down through the Manus, and then the different sun line and the moon line are traced. Ninth canto, I think it is. The moon dynasty is traced. So that's, and then we have Yadu in there, and we have Vrishni in there, and different Puru, I think, also in there. All different personalities are in there. So therefore, because they were ancient persons, called Yadu dynasty or Vrishni dynasty, also called the Madhu dynasty, because King Madhu was also in the dynasty. And so one meaning of Madhava is, comes from the Madhu dynasty. Krishna's Yadava, he's Madhava, because he comes in the Madhu or Yadu. Well, it's just a matter of the emphasis. In other words, if we worship as our prime deity, Radha and Krishna, and them as expansions, like we have Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and we have all the other forms, then okay. Just like we have many temples that are worshiping Narsimhadeva also, and some temples we have Rama, etc. But as far as our Sampradaya, we take Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, as the main deity. So that Krishna's worship should not be lessened in favor of the other deities at any time. If we prefer those deities, then probably we should be in another sampradaya. If we're thinking Narayan supreme and Krishna's nice, but I like Narayan better, then we go to the Narayan sampradaya, like Sri sampradaya or Madhva sampradaya. Well, it looks like he was an expansion of Hanuman. So he's actually an internal associate of Rama, but because of the bliss of Lord Chaitanya's leela, he wanted to join in there also. So it was actually said when Lord Krishna appears, all of the other forms of God are so eager to experience what Krishna experienced, they all enter into his body. So Rama and Narsimha and all the other Narayan Vishnu forms, Karnadakshaya Vishnu and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shurdakshaya Vishnu, all enter into Krishna's body. And when Krishna disappears, then they all go back to their, join their other forms again. Amsa forms, expand and they join and then go back again to their other form. And even in Rama, I said that, they go back to their other forms.
So Hanuman's come
Yeah. Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Yeah.
Other residents of Vrindavan on occasion recognize that Krishna is
God. Yeah, there is. Even the gopis say pray Paramatma sometimes in this. So that's explained by Vishnu Chakravarti. He says this is just an aspect of prema, and it's revealed, and then suddenly they forget it again. So it is produced by the prema itself, and then they it disappears again. So to be qualified to worship Krishna, obviously we have to accept that Jiva and God are different. That's there. But due to the nature of Krishna's form and the intensity of prema, it's completely covered up in most cases. Yeah, because of the intensity of their love, like Mother Yasoda, and she sees Krishna's, she sees the universal form. And then for a moment she says, oh, maybe I should become a little more serious about this. and I shouldn't treat him as a child anymore. And then her prema interferes, and then she forgets it all. And then she's worried that maybe my child is unprotected and the rakshasas are affecting him, and then she gets worried about that, and she forgets completely this idea of the universal form, and she completely forgets because of the prema. Krishna does it purposely, actually, to test her. And she succeeded, she passed the test too. Same with the gopis, he showed us his forearm form, and then, where's Krishna? We don't care for Narayan. And that was actually Krishna. And Nanda, when Krishna lifted Govardhan, the first incident where they thought like that is when Nanda was caught by the Varuna's servants, and he went out of the water, and then Krishna dived in the water and went down there. And then when everyone saw Krishna down there, all the devatas, Varuna, he began to offer his obeisances and respects and say, okay, you're the Supreme Lord, and made a whole prayer. And then Nanda Maharaj was standing there watching this. The devatas are all worshipping Krishna. So then he went back, Krishna brought him back again, and then he went back, and then Nanda Maharaj began to talk to the cowherdmen. Look, I saw Krishna down there, and all the devatas were worshipping him. So he must be God after all. And they were talking like this among themselves, Krishna's actually God. And then they thought, well, maybe we should ask him for something. Because he's God. What should we ask him for? Actually, Svarga Loka? And he said, no, that's useless. And they thought of all sorts of things. So then finally they decide, let's ask to see the spiritual world. We want to see the spiritual world. So they ask Krishna, show us the spiritual world. So then there's a whole section there how Krishna shows him the Brahman, and then immediately removes them, and then takes them to Goloka. And then they see Krishna there, and they're very happy because Krishna's there, everything. But the thing about this Krishna is that he's worshipped by the Vedas. So this is, again, Aishwarya Goloka. They see Krishna, and they're somewhat happy, but not completely happy. But then after that, then Krishna brings them back into Raja again. And then they're even more joyful. This is the real Krishna we want. So then from that they understand that actually this form that we are associating with is much better than all these Vaikuntha forms and in the spiritual world. So we prefer this rather than that. And then they thought, well, actually, it's Krishna's, power, but Gargamuni told us, Supreme Lord will enter into Krishna, and then he will show some powers, and he will protect you. So you protect Krishna because he'll protect you. And the reason that that is because Vishnu he worshipped Vishnu in previous lifetimes, and therefore Vishnu will enter him and cause a protection. So that's what's happened. Actually, Vishnu has entered into Krishna, and that's why he can show us powers. But actually, he's our son. So it's impossible he can be God because he's our son, and we take care of him. And you can't do that to God. You can't breastfeed God. So actually, he's not God, but God enters into him on certain occasions. So that was their rationale. And I thought that's proper. So whenever Krishna does this, then again they think a little bit, and then think, oh no, it can't be like that. And then they think it's Krishna's our son. Same with Govardhan. When Krishna left Govardhan, then after that, then Mother Yasoda thought, well, how did Krishna lift Govardhan up with his hand like that for 7 days? And then she thought, well, maybe Balaram was helping on the side. Maybe Nanda Maharaj was doing it. I think maybe because Nanda Maharaj was worshipping Vishnu, then Vishnu actually did it. And through Nanda Maharaj and Balaram. And she justified everything. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, they also had that fear a little bit, and at one point it began to shake. Yeah, because Krishna actually saw the gopis there, and his hand began to shake a little bit. So everyone's a little worried, and they've got their sticks, and there's some pictures you see, pictures of Govardhan, and the men are got their sticks up there, and they're holding up the hill also, because they're thinking maybe Krishna's going to drop it. So they're also trying to help out by pushing their sticks up like this to hold it. So that little fear is there also, because he's just a little boy. But nevertheless, their faith in Krishna is such that Krishna's our protector that eventually they forget. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we might be hesitant sometimes to take some shelter under
Yeah. Well, actually, the Supreme Lord has infinite powers, so what may look for us is impossible or, you know, improbable, just like lifting Govardhan Hill. It is nothing for the Supreme Lord. And he can give shelter to everybody in the material world and everybody in the spiritual world. So nothing impossible for Krishna. But we have to have that faith also. Okay. Hare Krishna.
He saw it as well as Swami gave.